Receive the things you have to say. And so we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I want you to turn this morning to John chapter 13, 34. John chapter 13, 34. Now, the title of the message is New Commandment. Now, if you're ever walking in the church and someone says, we're going to talk about a new commandment, you ought to just leave. I mean, that is like, oh, come on, don't do that to me. But the thing of it is Jesus said it. This is what Jesus said. And so we want to look at that and see what, you know, the Lord is trying to communicate to us here. So in John 13, verse 34, it says this. Jesus is saying this. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. Now, we look at this and, you know, we should ask ourselves, where does this come from? You know, what exactly does Jesus mean? What exactly does Jesus mean when he says this? Why is Jesus adding this commandment to the scriptures and calling it new? He's adding it to the scriptures and he says it's new. Now, if you read in the Old Testament, like for instance in Leviticus 19 verse 18, the Israelites were commanded to love their neighbor as they love themselves. So it's like, okay, you think this has been covered, you know, but he goes, no, this is new, what I'm telling you here. And so so when we look at this, it's like, okay, you know how I love context. Okay, so what is the context? What, this thing didn't just pop out and let's preach on it. And there was a context in which he said this. And so what we have in the context here, Jesus has come, he has come into Jerusalem riding on a donkey, okay, while multitudes declare him king of Israel. So that's the context. He's coming into town. People are paying special attention to him. And the next event recorded is Jesus celebrating the Passover and instituting the Lord's Supper. Now that's the next event. So we have this big coming in on the donkey and just fanfare. But then we move in the scriptures, what John says, Jesus is celebrating Passover, and at the same time institutes the Lord's Supper, in which we carry on to this day. Now, we should remember, and this is important that we remember this, that the Passover and the Lord's Supper and the upcoming crucifixion are all related and intertwined. Okay, that helps us understand a lot of things connecting the Old Testament with the New and Jesus' purpose. Okay. Passover, Lord's Supper, crucifixion. It's like for Jesus, all intertwined. And so we need to be alert to that. When we celebrate communion, we should be alert to that. I mean, it's a big, you know, that whole, the timing is important. You know, Jesus didn't just show up in Jerusalem and say, oh my goodness, it's Passover, let's celebrate it. No, he was there on purpose. On that time. So we have Jesus saying this to the introduction of this section. And he says this, and I won't have overheads for this, but you can just listen along. In John chapter 13, verse 1. So in verse 1, he says this. Now before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now that's a significant sentence, okay? It says, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. So that, I mean, that's interesting. So this evening of the Feast of Passover, Jesus knows his death is imminent. He knows his death is imminent. At this intense moment, Jesus turns his attention to his disciples. They're his focus. Right now, they're his focus. And it's significant that Jesus refers to his disciples as his own. That's what he said, his own. So he's looking at these and he said, here's the world, and we preach the God. No, he said, these are my own. These are his own. Now, also, it's very similar to an early reference in John 10, verse 3 through 4, where Jesus called as his own. He goes, these are my own. He called as his own sheep who hear his voice. Okay, you see the context who he's talking to. The sheep. This is the sheep who hear my voice. He said, they're my own. He looks at it and said, they're my own. So his vision has narrowed, okay, to this group of people. It's really narrowed to this group of people that are following him, committed to him, and his love he has for them. Now, we will take this out of 2,000 years ago and apply it to now. Jesus, in this section, who Jesus is talking to, Jesus is talking only to us. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to the church. He's talking to his own. That's us. So the disciples are his own. We are his own. He's specifically talking to us. Now, so we got this context. Now, Jesus, showing his love, would wash his disciples' feet. This is where this is going. He would wash his disciples' feet just as Mary, days before, had washed his feet. Same thing. Her love and devotion, she washed his feet. And so days after, he washes his disciples' feet. And we talked about the cultural thing and everything. But listen to this as it tells this account starting in John 13:3. And you just follow along as I read. Says this, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, he rose from supper, and he laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, he tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash his disciples' feet and to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. The Messiah, the King of Israel, washing his disciples' feet. I mean, that's what fascinating. Now, let's make it personal. Right there. Jesus washed our feet. It's a picture of him washing, loving us to the end and washing our feet. That's the context that we have here. Now, y'all with me? What's happening here? It's like, oh my goodness. I mean, what would you do in a situation is that? Hey, Jesus, glorious God, well, he sat down, I want to wash your feet. Well, no, that's not right. There's a lot of things wrong with that. You know, I would tell Jesus. Okay. Now, I believe also that this action was almost incomprehensible to the disciples. Okay. They don't have everything together, but they know he's having a feeling he is the Messiah and they can't put everything together. I mean, they got to be going like, whoa. Okay, this is not fitting into our view at all. This doesn't make any sense to us at all. And so we have an example here that he comes up to Peter to wash his feet, and Peter's stunned, totally stunned by the action. And he tells Jesus, you know, a lot of things in Scripture, you really shouldn't tell Jesus something, but Peter feels he tells Jesus a lot of things. So Peter, stunned by this action, told Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. not happening. This is ridiculous. I mean, no, you're the king, the Messiah. You will never wash my feet. To which Jesus replied to Peter. Jesus answered Peter, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Y'all with us? We're coming in here. I mean, let's make this real. You know, you look at these. And we're sitting here. Come in here. Well, this is, yeah, I want to wash your feet. I think, no way. Not happening. If I can't wash your feet, you don't have any part of me. It's like, all right. But so this is the dynamic that's going on here. Now, here's some context that's happening at the same time that makes it even more interesting. Not only did Jesus wash Peter's feet, who would later deny him three times. And he knew, because he tells them at the end of this, Peter said, I'll follow you anyways. It's not happening. Before the night's over, you're going to deny me three times. See? So he knows this, and he says, no, Peter, he washes Peter's feet. He knows he's going to deny him three times. And you know who else feet he washed? Judas's. He washed Judas's feet. See? And Judas was going to betray him, which he will mention later, and Jesus leaves. So it's like, well, I wash. If you're nice enough to me, I might wash your feet. Maybe. You know, as long as you had a good bath before I, you know, do it, you know. So, but you see the kind of, what in the world is Jesus doing? He made it. You do not think he is like making a point? You don't think he's communicating something incredible to these disciples? Now he makes a statement that it's like, it's really profound. it's just really profound. He makes a really profound statement to the disciples. He finishes washing their feet. Then Jesus says in John 13:13, he says this, and just listen closely. He's done this, and they're like, okay. And he goes, you call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, you ought to also wash one another's feet. Rich is on vacation. He didn't ask permission, but if he was here, I'd say, give us a drum roll. He goes, yeah, you saw me. You said, no, that's what you're to do to each other. Now, wait a minute. Who's he talking to? We just said his own. He's talking to Broadlands Community Church. He's talking to his own, not your next door neighbor. You know, he's talking to his own. He said, the reason I did it to you, and you are to do it to one another. And he goes on to say, for I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. You know, it's like, well, this, you don't know these people. These, yeah, I really know them well. I really know them well, you know. And I have a love for my people. You can't imagine that I'd wash their feet. And you are to have that same love for the ones I love. Do you know what qualifies us to be here? It's Jesus loves us. Well, Jesus loves them, but I don't love them. I said this before. It's so funny. I have to mention, I know it's a break in the thing. I saw this bumper sticker. It says, Jesus loves you, but everybody else thinks you're a butthole. So, I mean, I just love that bumper sticker. I mean, I really did, but I just didn't think I should put it on my car. But But don't we think that? Right? Jesus loves them, right? You know? And Jesus goes, no, I love my own, you know? And he goes, I love them, and for you should love them. That's what he said. Well, what do you want me? Well, I wash their feet. If you love them, you'll wash their feet. That's what he's saying here. This is what he is saying, you know? And so, it really is kind of it's incredible the one he's saying. Now, there's a very interesting thing. The Apostle Paul repeats this same attitude, the very same attitude. The Apostle Paul repeats it in Philippians 2, 5 through 8, okay? And here's what the Apostle Paul says. Have this mind in you. Now, you know, these guys, you know what he's saying. Have this mind in you. This is where your mind should be. Apostle Paul is saying, have this mind in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Have Jesus' mind in you. That's what Paul's saying. Have this mind, Christ Jesus' mind, in you, who being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. Jesus hanging on to being God. But he made himself nothing. What did Jesus make himself? What? Boy, nobody repeated after me at all. What did Jesus make himself? That didn't make sense. As nothing, make himself, he washed his disciples' feet. So for us to wash the disciples' feet, what should we make ourselves? Not much entitlement in these messages. Not much entitlement. You see what I'm saying? And it's kind of bizarre. He made himself nothing. Another place says he emptied himself, okay? And taking, and what he did, he made himself nothing. He emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant. It's important, like, to know people's spiritual gifts, and because people do work out their spiritual gifts, and it's wise to know that when you're trying to do anything. And really is, a spiritual gift is like a servanthood. And I am often reminded, I won't mention other people with me, that I don't have the gift of servanthood. I'm just not a big servant. And if we're doing something, if I have a task, I can kind of do it, but it's just what it is. All right? I'm just not. But, you know, I am not allowed to say, well, you should do that because I'm not a servant. Because what Jesus does, he pulls out that his body, the body of Christ, are servants. So to be, you come to Jesus, you're a servant, by definition. And it's like, well, I'm not washing their feet. I'm not a servant. We'll have someone else, and they can wash their feet because that's not my calling. So no, you make yourself nothing, and you make yourself a servant. Everyone, you function out of whatever spiritual gift you have, but then in doing so, you make your servant to serve other people, and you'll wash their feet. It highlights your spiritual gift that makes it worthwhile for Christ. Everybody in the church is a servant to Christ and should wash one another's feet. You see what he's saying here? So this is really, this is really profound. And you can see what Peter said. Don't wash my feet. But he said, wait a minute. He said, if I can't wash your feet, you have no part of me. Now you think of the other side. I could wash somebody's feet. What if they washed yours? No, that did not happen. You don't have any part of Jesus if you don't allow them to wash your feet. You don't think Christianity is absolutely revolutionary? It is, but not in the way that the world thinks. But what God's calling his people to do and the love he's calling them to show, which is shown out first. Why would we ever do that? Why would we do that? And you know, it's because Jesus did it. And he said, look at me now, you do it. See? Now that's not playing fair. That is just not playing fair. See, he didn't tell us to do it. He did it. He did it. And he said, now you do what I did. Jesus' example of love, humility, set the tone for one of the most powerful commandments he gave. And it's new. And that's where we get John 13:34. This is what he's talking about. This is why, you know, remember, this is why we take things in context. This is what he got there. That's how Jesus got there. This is a new commandment because the Old Testament didn't do this. The Old Testament prophets didn't do this. I'm giving you something that I want you to do. And I want you to love my people like I love my people. That's new. That's new. Now, what we look at here, the word new is very significant because it implies a freshness, something different. I'm telling you to love different. Not how you loved before. I'm telling you to love different. And Jesus had a love for them without reservation, without limit, and expected them to do the same to each other. It's a new commandment. Because Jesus said, as I have loved you, you must love one another. Jesus said, love like he loved. That's why he's telling us to do it. Love like he loved. This is new. This is brand new. And that's the reason, you know, Peter couldn't grasp it. And I don't think any of them grasp it. It's like, oh my gosh. See, it's new. It's something very new to the church. It's new to the church. Now, okay, now we have that. Every one of us should be going, holy good gravy, you know. Because it's like, it's so funny when you read through, we all should be reading the Bible. I mean, Linda and I have like a conversation almost every day. I mean, it's like, you know, the Lord just got this. You know, the Lord would tell him to do this. The Lord is saying, this is not right. The Lord is really revealing that. You know, you can almost see how things unfold, you know. That, oh my, and it puts a little fear and trembling. Because if you stay in the world, I mean, you're just flipping all over the place, you know. You're just everywhere. You know, I'm right, you're wrong. And they come up all this insanity, you know. But if you read the Bible, you don't. If you read it. And I'm going to tell you, anyway, I'm going to make a point. For churches, there's churches that don't preach out of the Bible. The churches that don't. There's one pastor. I'm going to say it anyway. And I just love the guy. Kind of. He said, here, and he'll hold the Bible up. And he says, we preach and believe in the Word of God. Da, 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 da. Okay? And he puts it down and says his sermon. He never opens that thing through the whole message. The only time he says anything is at the beginning of the message that he believes in it. And so I feel like, you know, being critical, like something, I think you're kind of off base, and I'm sure a lot of people think I'm off base, you know. But if you stay to the scriptures, it makes you preach on things that you may be uncomfortable with. It makes you to have some self-evaluation. It's like, oh my gosh, I'm not living this. I'm not living this what Jesus is living at, you know. And so it's very important to read the scriptures because it keeps us in context of what's happening and not being led astray. Led astray. Jim Jones, Guyana guy, okay? And I saw that. I'm old enough. People are like, this is a history. And you can say, no, I was there. I was in Los Angeles when he was in San Francisco. Mitch was like 3 years old, 4 years old. And I remember, and I'd read the Bible, and I'd just come to know Christ. I hadn't been in church or anything. And they showed a picture of Jim Jones. And he held his Bible up, and he threw it on the floor, and he stomped on it. Now, I didn't know much, but I thought, well, I ain't right. You know, that I'll tell you. And he goes, you don't listen to this, you listen to me. Well, I didn't know any Christians or anybody like that, so I got Mitch He's 4 years old. And I said, listen, anybody throw the Bible down and stomp so it, don't you ever listen to it. You understand? Yeah, I understand. I'm sorry. He remembers that. He's not in a fond way. But the point of it is, people do that. You know, the scripture keeps us focused and challenges us to go where we need to be. So I've learned over the period of time, oh my God, I don't understand that and I'm not there, but I want to take that step to get there and you'll help me understand more. You see, and it's things like this. It's like, well, Lord, this is, it's almost a step too far. You feel like it's a step too far. So what we have here is this is really challenging, and we should all ask. I mean, I'll say, I should ask, my Lord, I don't know I love like that. You know, that's hard for me to say. Now, y'all are, you know, easy to love, so not excluding you. But see, this is where it comes back, that it's God's love for us which enables us to have authentic agape love among Christians. You hear what I said? It's God's love for us, that we understand God's love for us, that enables us to have authentic agape love among Christians. Now, overhead, this verse, you've seen it before, but I have it over here. John 4:19. We love, okay? We love, okay, like Jesus. We're there, we're washing people's feet. We love. We're loving like Jesus. We love. Why? I want somebody to tell me, why? Why? Love us. Well, I can't love that. Then I don't have any comprehension of how much he loves me. That's the reason I can't love. Because I don't have any comprehension how much he loves me. But if I have a comprehension of how much he loves me, I love his people. And I wash their feet. If I know how much he loves me. See, the problem is, we don't know how much he loves us. That's the issue. That's an issue that we can't carry out what Jesus says and love the way Jesus loved. Love the way Jesus loved. Now, so we're saying, good grief, what does this look like? What does this look like for us? What is it? Jesus just showed us. Just showed us. Will you stoop to wash your fellow believers' feet? So he's saying. Now, we say, why is this important? Why is this important? Okay? And it's wrapped up in how Jesus closes this whole section. He tells us why we do this. He tells us the importance of this in the verse that he closes this whole section. Look at John 13:35. We're still in context. Jesus washing his feet. You know, we're still celebrating the Passover, the beginning of the Lord's Supper. And he's at this point. And Jesus says, why? Here's the why. Verse John 13:35. By this, okay, all of chapter 13. By this. All, in your Bible, circle, all, by this, all people outside the church will know that you are my disciples. Why? Because you feed the poor. Why? Because you paint your neighbor's house. Why? Because you babysit your neighbor's kids. Why? Because you do. Now, those things are good, and it talks about being a witness doing those things. But he said, no, all people will know you are my disciples by one thing, if you have love for one another. That's how they know. We love his people. His people love each other. That's how they know. That's how the world knows. Now, this is like, you know, this is, he's instituting the Lord's Supper. He said, do this in remembrance of me, okay? This is what he'd want us to remember, right here. This is what he wants us to remember. Now, look at this verse again. I want you to look at, Jesus said this in context with chapter 13. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. I wash their feet. You do the same thing. I love them to the end. You love them to the end. It's like, oh my gosh. Now personal, as it goes on, we think, my goodness, don't you, I mean, I'm talking to myself, don't you sometimes, you read like this, you just got, oh Lord Jesus, just let up. I mean, what are you doing to us? You know, I'm having trouble being nice to Linda. I gotta love everybody. What in the world are you talking about here? Now, personal, Broadlands Community Church, okay? Being willing, and again, personal, it's like, well, we'll talk about that other church, you know, them. Now, let them do their own deal. He's talking to us, and that's who we're responsible for, is in here. Us, okay? It's the family connection he's talking about here. So being willing to wash a believer's feet is evidence of our love for one another, and it's a witness to the world. Well, I want to go to plan B. We'll work on this later. He's not, don't work on nothing till you work on this. That's what he's saying. This attitude of love keeps us united and will be to all people a convincing demonstration that we are the disciples of Jesus. Amen? That's what it is. That's what it is. And you remember there's one verse that says, okay, what's the greatest command? He says, love me. You know, love each other. And all the Bible hangs on it. Well, I want to do all the Bible and do the loving next. You know, I get around to it. He goes, no, you'll never do all the Bible. You'll misread it, you'll misinterpret it, you'll mispreach it, because you don't have any love in your heart. That's what he's saying. Now, okay, granted, Jesus is using a cultural norm of his day to communicate this truth. It's a cultural norm. He didn't like, okay, this is the greatest thing in the world. You wash your feet and boom, you did it. That's not what he's doing. He used a cultural norm to communicate this truth. However, it is a descriptive physical example that drives home the attitude which Jesus desires all believers to have. He's after the heart. Oh, I guess I better go show I love somebody and I'll... They come in and we'll go over in the corner, I'll wash their feet, and I think, I got that done. he's after our heart. That's the communication. Now, that was the cultural. That wasn't unusual, the washing the feet. We saw that a couple of weeks ago when Mary washed Jesus' feet. That was a cultural norm. So he's using this cultural norm to show an attitude that we have. Thus, the new commandment. New commandment. That means the Old Testament folks didn't have that commandment. They didn't have that attitude. Now, notice that John goes on and he writes, you know, he writes 1 John 2. He wrote 1 John 2. And notice what he says in 1 John, and we have an overhead for this. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved. Now, who is he talking to? Church. Us. I'd call you beloved. See, beloved. I go to somebody else's church, I go, I don't know. Beloved. You know, it's beloved. Believers too. And it's certainly talking about extended believers. Beloved, let us love one another. Now, we have the Gospel of John in context. We know what he's talking about, don't we? Don't we know what he's talking about? Chapter 13 of John. So when he says this, it's like, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. That's what Jesus said. I'm trying to look at somebody here. I don't want to get in trouble. And I'll look at Woods. He would take, I'll look at Woods. And just based on this verse, Woods, I don't love you. I don't. Well, if I read this, love is from God. Shucks. Love is from God. And I just say, I don't love Woods. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. So if I don't love Woods, I don't have love. I haven't been born of God, and I don't know God. How do you know that? How do you know that? Because I just said I don't love Woods. See, you've been a pain. What? You see what I'm saying? Now, I know this is convicting is all daylight, you know, and I would never put this on anybody. But Jesus would. But Jesus would. And he puts it on me. He puts it on me. But let me read this again. I'm going to tell you, we have a hard time believing this. You know, I have a hard time believing it. You know, I'm sitting by myself in my room being holier than now. You know, I'm reaching the Bible, you know. Yeah, I love a bunch of people. I have a bunch I don't. You know, and then Jesus says to me, well, it looks like you weren't born of God and don't know God. What? No, that's not fair. I just said I didn't love them. Jesus' economy is different than our economy. The economy. Beloved, let us love one another. Now remember, he wrote this. He wrote the Gospel of John. Okay. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. I love you all. Well, then that is from the Lord. It's worked in my heart to love you in a real way to come to you. That's what he's saying. Oh, I love you because I'm just holy, good person. You know? That's not what it says. This is not what it says. It shows that you're showing forth, you know how much God loves you, and therefore you love because God loved you, because love comes from God. I always tell people, I know if you have teenagers, you know, it's just, of course, we're so past teenagers, it's not funny. Somebody was talking, who did turn 40? Was that Lillian? Was that you? Did you turn 40? She's not paying attention to me. Lillian, did you turn 40? Yeah. See, that's a child. It's a child. It's a child. I mean, we just blew past 40. I mean, somebody says, therefore, I remember I thought 40 was old. We blew past 40, and I thought, man, these are just kids. They're just kids, you know. And so it's like, oh, my gosh. So you have, you know, you have these, you know, teenagers, and they'll have boyfriends and and they put their arms, you know, 16, say, oh, I love you. Get out of here. Get out of here. You don't even know where to hang your clothes. Get out. You don't know one thing about love. And you don't understand. Oh, good God Almighty. Oh! You see, don't you? See? So, love is a big deal, and it comes from God. It comes from God. It comes from God. Now, didn't mean to pick on your teenagers, but I hope I made you feel better. I mean, they don't know what they're talking about. God bless them all. They're not in the sanctuary. Now, so what we have here is that love is from God. Whoever loves has been born of God. So if you have the love that you do, like wash feet, it means you're born of God. It means you know God. The reason we know we're born of God and we know God is because we love. Love. That's what it says here. That's what it says. Now, this is really personal self-examination going on. See, everyone who shows this kind of love, agape love, in action, also shows that he or she is born of God. You see how big deal this is? It's like, Jesus came in and said, I want to know how your church is doing, how much y'all love one another. Well, I mean, we're doing a lot of other things, you know. So, well, that didn't count. That didn't count. I want to know how much you love one another. See, that's the evidence that you've been born of God and you know God, that based on this verse. Now, granted, this has nothing to do with us becoming a Christian, but it is evidence that that should be present in every Christian. Okay? It's not having them becoming a Christian, okay? It's just evidence that should be present in every Christian. This love can only occur among those who have come to know God's love in Jesus Christ. You can't receive it and you can't give it unless you know Christ in the church, the dynamic. Okay? They don't have the capacity. They don't have the capacity. But they're nice. They're nice. But they don't have the capacity to love like Jesus loved. Like Jesus thought. And so those who love their brothers and sisters in the community of faith show not only that they are members of God's family, but that they know God as well. All right? Now, like, well, my gosh, what do I do with this? Well, sure. It's this like, now you can get irritated. Don't you love your kids? You know, you can get irritated. So that's, you can get irritated. But to love that comes from self is you have to do some self-examination. See, this is self-examination. And nobody can tell you. Got, and this is where we come as, well, I just don't love. I have a problem. Okay, God, what are you telling me? I need to have your love. Love in you. You know, I might as well just go for the juggler here. How many times? I know there are terrible marriages and I know there are terrible abuse things. Da-da, I know all that stuff. But putting that aside, you hear a wife say, I don't love my husband. Where's the issue? But basically, what Jesus said, where's the issue? The issue is between you. Are you born of God? Do you know God? Do you love him? I mean, if this is correct, husbands, I don't love my wife. Where's the issue? Well, she, no, where's the issue? It's you. When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, he said, okay, you guys get your feet clean, behave. Don't eat too much food, you know, clean up, get in a good spot. Just show me some good works and I'll wash your feet. No, they just came off the road with their dirty feet. You see what I'm saying? It's us that has to come to grips with our own heart to love. And if we don't love, it's an issue that's within our heart. Now, we can get irritated. Okay, Linda and I, we have some active disagreements that have sent me to the other bedroom sometimes, but we never stopped loving each other. It never was a question. I always thought, Billy Graham's wife, she said the funniest thing, that's funny. She said, we love each other. And says, you ever think about divorce? She said, we never crossed our lips. However, homicide has. Anyway, that was Ruth Graham. She said that. So we go there. So brothers and sisters, I just repeat, so those who love their brothers and sisters in the community of faith show not only that they are members of God's family, but that they know God as well. Do you see that connection? Jesus is making that connection. And he calls the church his family. He calls the people his own. And so it's the connection with him. Thus the new commandment. We're to love one another. Just as Jesus loved us, we also are to love one another. By this, people will know that we are Jesus' disciples. That's the thing. The body. He gave the church. He gave the church. Now, we'll end it with this. Why is, what the motivation? What's God's thinking? His thinking has always been this. Why? What motivation? Look here, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish and have eternal life. And we could just add there, based on what we know, and they'll love each other. They're the same group. They love each other. Those people love each other because Jesus loved them first. God loved them first and gave Jesus that they should not perish. Not perish. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this section, and we look at it of the depths of what Jesus did and the depths of what Jesus had told us. And God, we do, I'm sure everybody agrees with me, say, oh, dear Jesus, you know, let me just be filled with your love. Let me understand how much you love me, and let me be able to show and see the depth of love that you have for the people around me. That you love the people around me. You love everyone in this church more than I can imagine. And I likewise should love them like you love them. That's the new command. Love one another like Jesus loved us. Lord, we thank you that our sins are forgiven and you wiped our slate clean. And we praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.